Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well. If you own a home, you know how much work it can take, whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality. It can be hard just to know where to start, but now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
Whether you hydrate to live or live to hydrate, Liquid IV quenches your thirst faster than water alone. One stick plus 16 ounces of water is all you need. And my favorite flavor is lemon lime. However you hydrate, grab your Liquid IV Hydration Multiplier sugar-free in bulk nationwide at Costco or get 20% off your first order when you go to liquidiv.com and use code SCARY at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code SCARY at liquidiv.com.
Hello, I'm Blair Bathory, and this is the Something Scary podcast. Thank you so much for being here. Whether this is your first time or you're one of the brave souls who join us every week, have you ever felt like you were trapped in a reoccurring horror loop, unable to break free, seeking help, especially when dealing with the paranormal? It can be tough because you might feel too far gone for anyone to rescue you. It's like being lost in a dark maze where even a cry for help gets swallowed by the shadows. You're faced with the idea of giving up or fighting the nightmare for eternity. First, the popular creepypasta, In the Walls, followed by a never-ending nightmare. Finally, in our last story, a reunion you'd like to forget. Before we get to our stories, I wanted to ask if you could share this podcast with someone who likes the paranormal as much as you do. We know that most people rely on personal recommendations from friends to discover new podcasts, so we would deeply appreciate it if you would take the time to send a little something scary to your friends or followers. It's one of the ways you can help Something Scary continue to grow, and it only takes a minute. Thank you so, so much. Myself and the Something Scary team are incredibly grateful for your support. Thank you for being here. So, wanna hear something scary? Lost in tunnels of terror and time. We can only lie to ourselves for so long before the truth will end up killing us. Like in this story inspired by the famous creepypasta, In the Walls, by Anonymous. We recently moved from our old house due to safety concerns. I had to get my family, my wife, son Daniel, and me out of there. The discomfort in that house began a few months ago with a sense of being watched when each of us was alone. My wife and I both felt it on different occasions. One day, while my wife was out, I noticed the creepy vibe was strongest in the upstairs bathroom and the corridor with mirrors. In those areas, the temperature seemed to be colder, and there was never enough light. Over time, I grew to despise those mirrors. I felt like the house didn't want us there. Online research suggested it might be negative energy due to factors like poor lighting and past events. Thankfully, our son seemed unaffected. There was this one night when I woke up to go to the loo. I stepped into the bathroom and was shocked by how cold it was. It was not safe, how chilly it was in there. I looked at myself in the mirror for a bit, my cold breath steaming up the reflection, and the mirror gave me a bad feeling. I kept imagining that I could see something moving around in the mirror, and yet there was nobody else in the room but me. It happened at least 3 times, so I hurried back to bed and actually found myself hiding my face with the duvet. I thought I saw something moving in the mirror again the next night, and the next. I thought I even saw a face in the downstairs hallway mirror when I walked past for a split second. Of course, I knew it was only my imagination, definitely just a side effect of all the negative energy in the place. It was getting more irritating than frightening, so I decided to look for someone who could help. Through online forums, I found a frail old Japanese spiritual woman to help. Despite her age, just her presence made me feel more secure. However, during the cleansing, she suddenly tensed up, claiming to hear something in the walls. Panicked, she told us we couldn't live there. She urged us to leave immediately, insisting there was a man in the walls. We waited outside with her until her son arrived to pick her up, because she felt too uneasy to wait in the house. Her son picked her up, and when he saw her in a nervous state, gave me and my wife an unfriendly look before driving away. That whole visit had gone badly. Man in the walls. It was chilling to hear that. But being modern cosmopolitans, we just agreed she was doing that to frighten us, and that she was just old and batty. We didn't want to believe her bullshit. But the phrase stuck with me. Man in the walls. I even admit I put my ear to the wall to see if I would hear anything. Nothing. The tension gathered all day until at bedtime, and the house felt unnaturally dark. As I was slipping into bed, a cry from my wife got me up. She rushed into the bedroom with a look of utter horror on her face.
Man in the mirror!
She screamed.
Man in the mirror. In the bathroom.
I believed her. I stormed into the bathroom, but it was just my reflection staring back at me, standing there. A wave of despair engulfed me. Was there truly a presence lurking within these walls? My wife took some deep breaths and then attempted to assuage both of our fears, attributing them to overactive imaginations fueled by the old woman's ramblings. Too tired to argue, we prepared to retire for the night. However, when my wife told me about our son Daniel's peculiar behavior, it only added to my growing unease. Daniel had been speaking of an imaginary friend named Wallman, she told me, whose descriptions eerily matched the tales of the man within the walls. It became increasingly apparent that something was wrong, something beyond a mere superstition. The notion of moving to a new house took root in my mind, whether it was a mere intuition or the old woman's words ringing in my ear. One thing was certain, I no longer felt safe within these walls. After discussing potential moves, we eventually fell asleep. I had disturbing dreams, including one where I found a mysterious figure standing over our son's bed with a menacing look, a wide, evil grin and black eyes. The dream left me in a cold sweat. That morning, as I waited for a kettle to boil, a voice caught my attention. It was Daniel. He was shouting. I found him looking up at the mirror in the downstairs corridor in a heated argument with somebody.
No, if you don't say sorry, I won't be your friend anymore,
he cried. I asked him if he was all right and he ignored me.
No, no, no,
he shrieked at whoever he was speaking to, and I saw tears on his cheeks.
I don't want to. You're not nice anymore.
I rushed to him and lifted him up, carrying him away from that mirror, and his mother came downstairs.
Wallman wants me to live with him in the wall. He wants to take me in the wall, but I don't want him to do that,
he cried. I shook my head, handing him to my wife, my voice shaking.
I can't put up with this any longer. Wallman, come out, you bastard.
I had never spoken like that in front of my son, but he didn't seem unsettled. He seemed glad that I was angry and doing something about Wallman. My wife took him upstairs while I raged out for a bit, swearing I was going to shatter all the mirrors in the house. We had breakfast in silence, and after a while, it all seemed okay. And then something happened that was amazing. Nothing. Nothing at all. There wasn't even a weird feeling of anxiety anymore. It felt like a normal home should. Surprisingly, the following day passed without any strange occurrences, and the trend continued for a whole week. Our house began to feel more like home, allowing us to spend quality time with Daniel. He also seemed to forget about his imaginary friend. Just when we thought things were settling down,
we encountered another problem. Yellow mold began spreading throughout the house, emitting a foul odor, soon becoming widespread and unbearable. It's as if the house was switching tactics, finding a new way to torture us. Calling in an expert to address the issue, we left for a visit to my in-laws. However, we received a distress call from the specialist later that night, prompting us to rush home to find police officers stationed outside our residence. A policeman stopped us in our tracks and we made our way towards the front door. He told us what they found was nothing a boy should see. Daniel kept questioning what was happening, but we hurried him back to the car and told him to wait there. Returning to the scene, I was permitted entry by an inspector. Inside, where the mold was, I had discovered holes in the walls. Individuals wearing masks were removing items in plastic bags. The mold specialist looked shell-shocked, just sitting on the sofa. Then I was told, once I promised to remain calm, that behind each of the 16 patches of mold, the bones of small children had been found curled up inside the walls, dead. The children were all between the ages of 2 and 5 and were recognized as children that had gone missing in the area over the past 30 years or so. Learning about the possibility of something evil in the house shook me deeply. If events had unfolded differently, it could have been my son rotting in the walls. We've never told Daniel about the children in the house, hoping he'll never ask. He never mentions his imaginary friend, Wallman, and appears content in our new home, where everything feels normal. But one thing still freaks me out, and I don't think I'll ever stop as long as I live. I still don't know what the heck it was in our house. I refer to it as Wallman because the name makes it seem less frightening, but I can't get over the fact that I've actually had contact with a paranormal entity. I'm guessing it's still there in that house. Fat chance anybody wants to buy it now, after the discovery made the local headlines. A few days after the discovery, the mold specialist met me at work. He showed me a photo he had taken at our house. Clear image of a face in the mirror, grinning widely, with large black eyes. It was unsettling to see real evidence of something paranormal in our home. The specialist explained he had seen it and hastily snapped the photo before leaving. His reason for showing me remains unclear, but the image haunts me nonetheless. I never truly actually believed in the paranormal until then, but now, I'm open-minded. I say my prayers before going to bed every night. We only have one mirror in my house now, in the bathroom, and I avoid it like the plague. And sometimes, only sometimes, when I am alone at the home and it is quiet, press my ear to the wall and listen carefully. Then I look into the mirror for a while, just to make sure there isn't anything else in there. Perhaps you should give it a go too. After all, some houses are strange and some houses have been there for a very long time. You may find that those walls that protect you from the elements every day are in fact home to something that you might need protection from. And as for mirrors, I guess they are like doors into the wall. They show you not only what's behind you, but what's behind them. Trust me, if you see any strange faces in the mirror, there's a possibility there could be something in your walls. Afraid? My advice? Just brush your teeth quickly. Have you ever felt like something or someone was there even when you were alone? How did you end up shaking that feeling?
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well. If you own a home, you know how much work it can take,
Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now, all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com. Sometimes grief can make you feel like you're going crazy, like in this story inspired by Jay Rose. Walking in the woods, the sun started to set, and I was only halfway to the cabin. I turned the flashlight on my phone so I could see. I started hearing whistles through the trees. I just shook it off as the wind. The moon was out now, and the only way I could see was with my phone's flashlight. I felt I was close to the cabin. It was now 9:47 p.m. and it was too dark to see anything without a flashlight. I checked my phone's battery and it was at 1%. Then it died. I should have charged my phone just a bit longer before I left. Now I couldn't see anything but the ground below my feet. I stumbled over a rock I didn't see, and in the distance, I could hear someone else walking around. I could see a flashlight searching through the trees. I stood up as quickly as I could to start walking in the direction of the light. I know it was a stupid idea, but this was my last chance of finding someone to help me find the cabin. The cabin my father gave to me last June, a week before he died. The cabin I've been going to since I was two. The cabin where I took my first steps. The cabin my mother hated because she thought it was haunted. Ever since I was little, I've always seen shadows in the corner of my eyes. I never thought that the shadows I saw were real. They always disappeared before I could turn my head to really look at them. I almost ran into a tree, but the person with the flashlight called out to me. It was my father. My father was dead, though. I watched him die in the hospital bed. How could my deceased father be in the woods with me?
Who are you?
I asked shakily.
It's me, Charlotte.
Your father,
he said in a slow, raspy voice. My father didn't sound like that, even when he was dying. I started running as fast as I could to get away from my father, but I suddenly asked myself how he knew my name. Was it him? I wasn't paying attention and ran into a tree. When I got up, it felt like everything was spinning around me. I put my hand on my head to feel it was wet. I looked at my hand, and all I saw was blood. I knew there was a first aid kit at the cabin, but I didn't know where I was. I looked at my watch to check the time. It was 11:42. I started walking around trying to look for the cabin. I soon realized I was walking in circles. Then I heard something.
Charlotte! Where are you, Charlotte?
I heard the thing calling me. It sounded really close by. I started climbing a tree to hide. I then saw the creature pass by me. I don't think it saw me. Then it stopped walking around and just started standing. It then looked up at me slowly, telling me it wasn't nice to hide from my father. I screamed,
"You're not my father! My father died!"
I started crawling up the tree at a rapid speed. I didn't have time to climb down, so I just jumped down from the tree. I must have sprained my ankle because I wasn't able to step on it completely. I started trying to run, but I was only able to stumble around because of my ankle. I somehow managed to slip on a leaf. I got up as quickly as I possibly could and started looking around for the thing pretending to be my father, but it was nowhere to be seen. When I got up, I saw something in the distance. I walked closer to it to see that it was the cabin. I started running towards it in a panic. I pushed the door open. When I shut the door trying to catch my breath, I started looking around. In the dark hallway, I saw two eyes. The eyes started moving, and I was paralyzed with fear.
I crumbled to the floor and started crying. Then all of a sudden, I woke up in my bed at home. It was just a dream. A long and terrifying dream. I was still shaken up, but I left my room and walked down the hall to see that it was my parents' house. I walked into the bathroom and looked in the mirror. How am I still a kid? I thought to myself. I felt as if I lived my whole life in a dream. As I stared in disbelief at the mirror, something started moving. It was my reflection moving, but I was standing still. My reflection started crawling out of the mirror. I screamed as loud as I possibly could. My father came running into the bathroom. "What's wrong? Are you okay, Charlotte?" he asked in a worried voice. It was him. It was actually my father, alive and well. He sounded quite panicked and went to get the doctor. Everything started spinning again. Then I was back in the cabin, but I was alone, and it was morning now. I checked my phone, and it was charged to 100%. I left the cabin, and it wasn't in the woods anymore. I went outside to see I was in an abandoned-looking town. I screamed trying to find someone.
Charlotte.
I heard my name, but there was nobody. I was completely alone in this little town. I've decided to end my story here because I've told you the story already, multiple times. There's nothing else to it. You don't seem to remember. So I'll just accept my fate to live in this never-ending loop of horror. Have you ever felt like you were trapped in a horror loop? One nightmare after another? How did you break free?
It's getting warmer outside, and I'm always trying to find new ways to stay hydrated in the heat. And whether you hydrate to live or live to hydrate, Liquid IV quenches your thirst faster than water alone. One stick plus 16 ounces of water is all you need. And my favorite flavor is lemon lime. Three times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, and no artificial sweeteners and zero sugar. 8 vitamins and nutrients for everyday wellness, plus it's non-GMO and free from gluten, dairy, and soy. It's really the best drink you can consume when you are sweating, you need a little boost, or you're just looking for some extra daily vitamins. I take it before a workout, before I record the podcast, or anytime I'm feeling a little run down. However you hydrate, grab your Liquid IV Hydration Multiplier sugar-free in bulk nationwide at Costco, or get 20% off your first order when you go to liquidiv.com and use code SCARY at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code SCARY at liquidiv.com.
Celebrating with old friends can bring you great joy, but sometimes it brings you memories you're dying to forget. Like in this story inspired by Olivia. The night of my friend's 21st party was meant to be a celebration to remember. We were all gathered in a luxurious hotel room. Our high school crew finally reunited, back together again for the event. The ambiance was perfect with the laughter infectious. What happened next, no one could have anticipated. As the clock inched closer to midnight, the idea of playing hide-and-seek emerged among the group. It would be like it was when we were much younger. With eager anticipation, we scattered throughout the spacious room, each of us seeking out the perfect hiding spot. My friend Daria and I opted to hide ourselves on the balcony. Time seemed to blur as we waited in our covert refuge, stifling giggles as we listened to the muffled footsteps of our friends searching for us. Yet as minutes stretched into what felt like eternity, it became apparent that our companions had abandoned their quest and retreated to the lobby for drinks. Disappointed by our perceived abandonment, Daria and I concocted a sneaky plan to startle them. Still perched on the balcony, we sent a playful message claiming we were trapped on the 13th floor of the hotel, a floor that didn't even exist in reality. Unsurprisingly, our friends didn't take the bait, and eventually, we relented and decided to join them in the lobby. Entering the elevator, our laughter echoed as we descended, oblivious to the chilling reality awaiting us. The elevator came to an abrupt halt on the 13th floor, a floor that shouldn't have been there. At first, we dismissed it as a mechanical glitch, assuming someone on the floor below was causing the delay. But as the door slid open, revealing an empty corridor shrouded in darkness, a sense of unease crept over us like a shroud. The floor was under construction, devoid of life or activity. Piles of debris littered the hallway, and the air was thick, with an oppressive stillness that sent shivers down our spines. Despite our initial amusement at the coincidence, a gnawing sense of dread began to take hold as we realized the gravity of our situation. Ignoring the warning bells ringing in our minds, curiosity got the better of us, and we stepped out of the elevator to explore. The corridor stretched before us like a labyrinth, each turn leading us deeper into the heart of the abandoned floor. With every step, the clamor of our footsteps echoed ominously against the empty walls, amplifying the eerie atmosphere that enveloped us. As we ventured further, Daria and I inadvertently became separated, our voices swallowed by the vast emptiness of the deserted floor. Panic crawled at my throat as I called out for her, the sound of crashing and clanging reverberating through the darkness like a sinister symphony. Desperate to find her, I navigated the labyrinthine corridors, my heart pounding in my chest with each passing second. Eventually, through sheer luck, I stumbled upon Daria, her face pale and haunted by the horrors we had encountered. Together, we retraced our steps in a frantic bid to find the safety of the elevator, but our efforts were futile. The once familiar corridors had morphed into a labyrinth of uncertainty, leading us further into the depths of the unknown. With mounting dread, we stumbled upon a decrepit staircase, its steps creaking beneath our weight as we ascended in a frenzied bid for escape. The air grew thick, with a stench of decay, and the oppressive darkness seemed to press in on us from all sides. Finally, after what felt like an eternity, we emerged onto the floor where our room awaited, our bodies trembling with a mixture of relief and terror. As we reunited with our friends, their laughter and chatter faded into the background, replaced by the haunting echoes of our ordeal. We recounted our harrowing experience to the group, but our words fell on deaf ears. To them, it was nothing more than a tale spun from the fabric of our imaginations, a product of overactive minds fueled by the adrenaline of the moment. But for Daria and me, the memory of that fateful night lingered like a ghost, a reminder for the inexplicable horrors that lurked within the shadows of what should have been a joyous night. To this day, the truth of what happened remains a mystery, something like a bad dream. And as we move forward, the memory of that night serves as a sobering reminder that some secrets are best left buried in the depths of the darkness, lest they consume us whole. Have you ever had a celebration go bad? Was there something paranormal that haunted the occasion? Tell us your story by sending us an email at somethingscary@snarled.com. This week's podcast stories were edited by Sarah Lukasiewicz, narration by Blair Bathory, audio edited and mixed by Fitz Harris, additional audio editing by Calvin Linderman, produced by Anna Villalobos, executive produced by Gail Gilman, music by Sapphire Sandalo and Calvin Linderman. If you have a story you'd like to submit, send me an email at somethingscary@snarled.com. Don't forget to watch the video version of Something Scary over at youtube.com/snarled. And if you'd like to support the show and everything we do at Snarled, join our Patreon at patreon.com/snarled.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well. If you own a home, you know how much work it can take, whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality. It can be hard just to know where to start, but now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.